Here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Wombox podcast. This is episode 91. That's right, 91, people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
Totes.
Okay, let's take a moment and just absorb that. Okay, so this episode we're gonna try to cover some C2E2 news. That's the name of the episode, and I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Girard.
All right, then.
Murray?
Murray, you still...
Murray Fox, I'm here.
Okay, good. Just making sure, man.
I got three bars on my Wi-Fi. We're all good.
Awesome. All
you won't
right.
be stopping me early this week.
Yeah.
Three bars. Jeez, it's like a night in Vegas.
Woohoo!
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, here we go.
Not that I would know anything about that.
It was fun time was had by all there, wasn't it? Which I think that's the last time they're going to have MMS at all ever.
Oh, okay. Well, glad I squeezed it in when I could.
Yeah. That's a whole other story.
There, new profile picture.
Huh?
Angry Murray. No, Happy Murray? Dancing Murray?
I still see the same one. Okay, well, that's fine.
What? Still see the same one.
Yeah, it hasn't it's changed like, for me yet.
Rated Scott Coles' wardrobe.
Oh, I see it now.
I know, this is my Scott Coles impression.
Good lord.
Bright orange and beautiful.
You're too skinny to be Scott Coles.
Oh, ouch.
Yikes. Good thing he doesn't listen to this podcast. let's see what we got here. I got fixed up a
this
little.
This is going to be our con report when nobody went to the con report.
Yeah, well, this is totally Google News is all of the heavy lifting. Now, okay, I'm going to start off with something that I thought was parts of coolness and yet lameness at the same time. And I posted this on the – I'm kind of sort of, you know, stealing – links from other people's blogs on Tales from Longbox again, just like I used to, back in the good old days. And, so we all know that they put out all new X-Men. And if you don't, this is the plot, okay? That the Beast goes back in time and pulls the...
I've got that on... No, I don't. I was going to play my turn back time.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
All right. Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard about this or not. This is this is classic stuff here, boys.
Okay.
Now see if you can follow this now. So they're calling this it was announced at the X-Men panel that they're gonna have a little event called Battle of the Atom. So what's gonna happen is the all new X-Men book plus a couple others. Yeah, it's going to be in X-Men Battle of the Atom number 1, then Uncanny X-Men number 12 through 13, All New X-Men 16 through 17, Wolverine and the X-Men 36 through 37, X-Men 5 through 6, which I think that's the new X-Men with all female cast, and then a bookender one, X-Men Battle of the Atom number 2. This will be handled by Bendis, Jason Aaron, Brian Wood. And yada yada, this will be story begins September and ends in October, so super duper double shipping for everything, obviously. So what's going to happen?
Buddha double shipping, first of all.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's all going to be in 1 month. So that's how many comics? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 comics in 2 months.
And they're all their $4 books.
Every single one, I'm sure will be. And there's pictures of the sketches, various places over the net. But basically, so you got in the all-new X-Men book, you had the Beast from the present go and get the original X-Men from the past and bring them to the future to try to kick the present Cyclops in the butt and straighten them out. Okay? Don't know how that's going. I think Caleb's been reading that, right? You've been reading that?
I have. Oh, wait. I had a question.
Yes.
Beast went back in the past because he was all, like, sick and dying, right?
Yeah, that's right. He was dying.
Is he still dying?
No. No, he cured himself, and he's no longer
kitty cat beast. He's back to being more Beastie Beast.
Nice.
Okay.
See, I picked the wrong damn book to read.
Yeah, I think I did too.
Which one did you pick?
Avengers.
Which one?
The
good Avengers. One or the crap one? The thinky one or the thinky one or the hitty one?
I was going to say the Hickman one, but they're both Hickman. Just Avengers with like the cast of thousands.
Oh, the hitty one, okay.
The hitty one?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the other one's all thinky, as you would say.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I guess okay. I could. Anyway.
Anyway.
I should have
been doing that. You did pick the wrong book, but okay.
So, the premise of the Valley and Adam is, okay. It says, X-Men Valley Adam will see what happens when it's finally time for the original X-Men to go back to their own time with the help of the future X-Men.
Ooh, baby.
Right, the present-day X-Men are going to get a visit from their future selves that they have one mission to send the original X-Men back where they belong and prevent a terrible future. You following all that?
I am.
So, yeah, and they got pictures here, and I'll send you one of the links.
You understand what the impetus behind this is, though, right? Is the next X-Men movie is essentially that. It's young X-Men and old X-Men.
Right.
They're trying to reset a precedent, because that's what Marvel's all about, is their movies now. So if they can somehow intrigue you with the comics, then you will have to go to the
past is what there is the deal, but it's ridiculous.
That is a little confusing though, because and you know that Wolverine will be on all the teams.
Well, and they have a young Wolverine. As the pictures I'll show you, they have a future version of Deadpool. They have the Ice Hulk or the Ice Thing. So Iceman's powers go kablooey. Now the Beast, he's furry again.
Yes.
In this future, and he's like half original furry and second, and the other half is super furry.
he's super furry from the waist down, baby.
Yeah, and then they got some Molly Hayes, and then I forget this guy's name. I don't know what he is, but then they have Wolverine, Junior Wolverine, and a female Zorn. Yes, a Junior Wolverine. Scroll down, you'll see it down there. There was a better deal on it on. Let's see. Yeah, there was a better deal on it on Comixology.
Junior Wolverine.
Yes. I mean on, here we go.
I gotta say, it sounds kind of cool.
let's see. Where'd it go? That'd be the 50th anniversary. The story adds some new players to the Cyclops Wolverine divide when a group of X-Men from the future land in the present, including Kate Pryde, Molly Hayes, Deadpool, Lady Zorn, a futuristically mutated Beast, and something called Ice Thing, all designed by Arthur Adams. They don't miss.
Yes, right there is a huge selling point.
Ice Thing?
No, the design by Arthur Adams, man.
That's true. Those are his sketches in that one I showed you. There should be some in here, too.
There's some awesome sketches here.
Yeah.
That's the way you do a 50th anniversary.
So
you have fun with the concept. You bring in some stuff from the past. You bring in some stuff from the future. You have fun with it. Mm-hmm. You build on stuff. That's the way to do a 50th anniversary, as opposed to the Legion of Superheroes 50th anniversary when the book was canceled.
Yeah.
That's not the way to do a 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. What, just to sweep it all under the rug? Come on, Murray.
I'm going to have to go dig into some of these X-Men books, I think, when I can find them on sale.
I would recommend both Uncanny and All New. They are both. And you know me, I'm not a Bendis lover. I, in fact, am usually irritated by Bendis.
Furries and Bendis lovers. Woo, we're getting all the hot spots tonight.
That's right.
So, okay, wait a minute.
Like in Baldwin Morby.
New Uncanny X-Men? Doesn't that have all women in it too?
That's not out yet.
Oh no. Uncanny X-Men. That's the one with Cyclops and yeah. I like that book.
That's the one that every other issue is done by Chris Backlow.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I really like that book. Let's see, what else we got here? Going from the other side.
I think, and Chris, I think you'll note as you go through this that the majority of the mainstream news is Marvel. DC did not.
They didn't talk that much at all.
I think DC's trying to keep a low profile right now.
Oh yeah, I know, it's crazy.
What the WTF? They're trying to keep a low profile?
Yeah, that was a really stupid and failed idea, wasn't it?
Well, I like the idea of a gatefold cover. I like the idea of...
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as people found out about the WTF thing, and bitched about it, I mean, they took that shit off the cover.
Well, the labeling was stupid. But the idea of, like, a big fancy cover for a month, that's kind of cool. Now, the reveals...
They should have stuck with it and not revealed anything, but they did it all before the books came out. That kind of ruined.
Well, yeah, but even still, the big shocking moments, at least in the books I read, were not terribly shocking.
No.
The books are still good. Like, I read some good books this month, but...
Yeah, I'm still going through them all.
But the best books were the books that just told their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was
some of the covers were like, oh, you know what, you're gonna have to do a gatefold cover, so you know, add extra space, like the Dial H cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great cover and all. Bowman does some amazing art, but that was like, I have to stretch this picture out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you seen the? Hold on. Knee. Sorry about that. I didn't hit the mute in time. Oh, goodness.
And the Legion cover was like, I don't know. It was
almost... Yeah, that was not a big shocking reveal. It was just a let's do an extra wide cover.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, if you've got the space, sure, use it. It would have been nicer if you'd used like a competent artist to do the artwork, but whatever. Like, I mean, you got the space, so use it for sure.
Nice.
So sorry, Mr. Kirby. Whoever you are,
you know,
I'm going to assume.
You know what that guy is? Do you ever read Terry Pratchett books?
No. My wife has, I think.
If she has any of his books on your shelf there, any of the paperbacks, he did the covers to the Terry Pratchett novels.
And they're all about elves, right? So that explains why all his characters have pointy ears?
Some of them do. Your wife can bitch slap me for me, okay?
His covers on the Pratchett books might be awesome. Maybe that's his thing.
Sorry, off topic. Apologies.
So back to this Chicago thing.
Yes.
I heard there was a con there.
Yeah, there was, actually.
It's a good one. I went once. I liked it. I would go back.
I really want to go, that's for sure.
Okay, next year.
Yeah, sounds good.
There you go.
I've never been to Chicago, so.
What? You've never been to Chicago?
Oh, wow.
The Windy City? The Big Sleep?
I've never been to Deep Dish Pizza? I've never been to the Midwest, so.
Wow.
What?
Unless you count Texas, but that's more central.
That's, yeah.
That's a whole other world from what I've heard.
Let's see. One little thing was Ron Perlman was quoted as saying that Hellboy 3 must happen. You owe it to the world to finish this trilogy. He's talking, you know, told the director Guillermo del Toro, and he said, I'm pushing 70, so he better blank do this soon.
What? Oh, he's almost 70?
That's what he says.
Wow.
I didn't realize he's that old either. Well, if it was like anything like the second one, I'll pass, because I was really disappointed in that. But I think the two of them had some problems, because I was reading another thing about that, and he was just totally, him and the director both were miserable during the production of that.
Hmm. So,
they loved working on number one. I was at a very small con many years ago. It was in Hollywood, and they were both, and somehow they convinced Del Toro and Perlman to come and do a talk at this con where maybe there were 100 people, and they said they had just a ball working on Hellboy 1, so.
Let's see.
I would never sit through Hell. I barely sat through Hellboy 2, though, so.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. I didn't watch it. I think I watched it on a DVD. I didn't actually. No, I think I did maybe go see it. Maybe I did.
He's pushing 70. I guess.
Yeah.
He does look that old on Sons of Anarchy, but.
Yeah. Let's see. Wolverine can be killed now, apparently. There's something coming up in the Wolverine book where he is going to be changed at a fundamental level, and he won't be as tough as he used to be, apparently.
Yes, for the next 3 years, and then he'll go back to being.
Yeah, like when they took his, adamantium. Mm-hmm.
I think the bigger news on that, though, is I thought Alan Davis was done with the book, but he's sticking around. He's coming back.
I'm back and forth on that.
The book has been boring as hell, but I love Alan Davis.
You know, I had commented that I had read that, but I don't think I had. If I had, I forgot it because I read it the other day, and it was actually not as bad as I thought I had read, but it still wasn't all that great.
It's one of the weakest Paul Cornell books I've ever read, and Alan Davis, again, while beautiful art, this is just a really boring title. And it's Wolverine. How can Wolverine be boring? Well,
dude, Wolverine is like in every book.
Yeah, but Savage Wolverine is a great book. So
maybe that's the one I read and didn't like.
That's Frank
the one he drops in the middle of the Savage Land. Oh, that's stupid. Once I read that, he just all of a sudden appears in the Savage Land. I was like, okay, I'm done.
Ah, no.
That's what I was thinking.
Anything with scantily clad Shanna, the She-Devil, cannot be out of path. So.
You know what? I just read that. I got it on the free Marvel, take a free Marvel, whatever, on Comixology. Yeah. Downloaded it, read it. I kind of liked it.
Which one?
The Shanna the She-Devil and Wolverine.
Oh,
and
that one? Thing. Yeah. The art was good, but, you know.
The Murray seal of approval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gets my seal.
Let's see.
Lucille!
What else we got? You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
Oh, dear.
You all right? The
anime can't come fast enough.
Let's see. What else we got? Yeah, we know about X-Men, X-Factor being in soon. It's like 2099, Spider-Man 2099 is coming back.
Oh, by the way, back to X-Factor. We'll backtrack here for just a moment. But
you want to mute yourself here while we're talking?
No, I'm enjoying listening to him laugh.
He's okay, I'm just kidding. Go on.
X-Factor has been on freaking fire lately.
Yeah.
That's a book I wish I had picked up.
Yeah, good luck. There is no catching up on that book.
No, you'd have to go back 10 years, and it's probably an excellent read, and I wish I had followed it.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping Peter David gets a good gig following this. Apparently he's got something lined up, but
Oh, well, yeah, he's always writing something. Him and Robert Greenberger and a couple others have their own little publishing thing called Crazy 8 something publishing, I think.
I remember he was doing that. Yeah, whatever happened to that? Is that still going?
Still going, yeah. They just don't talk about it that much. Let's see. Something happened.
I feel bad if anyone says, hey, I want to try and take on that again, because it'll be impossible.
Anybody seen? Okay, this just happened today, but apparently DC has redesigned He-Man's costume. Dramatic new look.
Whose costume?
He-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway. Moving on.
Lucille.
Let's see. What else we got? Talked about that. There's a bunch of podcasts. I watched some streaming video of it. It was kind of interesting. Let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah, Comics is going to join Thrillbent.
That's actually pretty – that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Digital Comics first panel. First two issues of All Yeah Comics will be available beginning April 27th on the digital comics platform Comixology under the Thrillbent imprint. In the weeks to come, we will see dedicated, exclusive All Yeah Comics material on the Thrillbent site. Now, I need to get there more often because this is good stuff. Tiny Titans creators Alt Baltazar and Franco ran a successful Kickstarter earlier this year to launch All Yeah Comics, a line of all-ages comics based on characters created by the pair and written and illustrated by a variety of creators. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I did know that. They were talking it up at the CGS Super Show.
Interesting. A little
bit. Which is another con that you should get to, also in the Midwest. Or is that in the East Coast? I don't know
which one. Which one did you say?
CGS Super Show.
Oh, yeah. Every time they've had it, the last 3 or 4 years, it's been the weekend before MMS.
May not be a problem,
said. In a year that I didn't get to go MMS, they didn't have it. So, yeah.
Well, next year there's no MMS, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Go.
I'm not really sure yet.
Represent.
Yes.
Caleb's going to be there. He's going to start running now.
I am. It will take me just under a year to run there.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's see.
Wow, you considered it. That's cool. Good. Step forward.
I'm going to gump it. I'm just going to
Let's see. What else we got? Well, I had a list of stuff. Where'd it go? Okay, here we go. Let's see. Jeff Darrow heralds the return of Shaolin Cowboy. Going to Dark Horse. Let's see. There's been a bunch of rumors that they're going to have a line-wide Villains Month in September. DC will. Let's see. What else we got? Yeah,
They've kind of been talking about that off and on for a little while. I'm kind of okay. Like, it looks like they're trying to do something flashy every September. So if this is their flashy idea for September, I'm okay with that. Like, it's been a while since they've done a Villains Month.
Yeah, that's true.
They did. Did they ever do like a full month? Or I'm trying to remember. Like around the time DC was doing the big, they did like a month where every cover was like a big head. Wasn't that around the time they also did like a Villains Month or something?
They had a bunch of villain specials, and
maybe that's all
specials.
It was.
And then some of the comics actually had villains, on them or whatever.
That's what Murray was asking about. I vaguely remember that one as well.
Yeah, I remember all those. Let's see.
But I'm kind of cool with a whole month full of villain focused.
One of the best issues of Fantastic Four that Byrne ever did was was that Doctor Doom issue. That was awesome.
Yes.
It was really.
Yes.
Good, Empire.
Empire was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great villain book, and we got what's the one from Monkey Brain?
Masks and Mobsters.
Yeah.
With that, but I was thinking of the superhero one, the one that represents
Edison Rex.
Yes.
If done right, they can be pretty awesome. I mean, I'm sure there's some great examples of just the opposite, but. Villains tend to be more interesting than the heroes.
Okay, here's the thing I found, the top five shockers. We already talked about five comic shakeups from C2E2. Wolverine thing making him killable. IDW had the greatest panel in history. They're going to do, let's see. IDW's Hyperbolic panel broke tons of news this weekend. Teaming up with DreamWorks, the publisher announced the release of comics featuring much-loved cartoon legends Rocky and Bullwinkle, Boris and Nastasha, Snidely Whiplash, Mr. Peabody, and Sherman, Dooley Do-Right, and more. These comics are set for release sometime in 2014 with Mr. Peabody and Sherman complementing the film release. Oh, that's right. They're doing a film of that. Now, IDW also announced that it will smash two of its most popular titles together for, wait for it, Mars Attacks Judge Dredd by Al Ewing and John McCrae.
Really?
Yes. I got a cover over here. The publisher also has a new series called The Other Dead, a zombie thriller by writer Joshua Ortega with interior art by Qing Ping Mui. Q-I-N-G-P-I-N-G-M-U-I. Wow. A story about an infestation of undead animals comes from a film treatment by Digger T. Mesh. Well, that's a big surprise. Here we go. Next, number three. Kieran Gillian dives into Iron Man's past. To go along with the release of Iron Man 3, possibly the last of the cinema franchise, on May 3rd, Marvel's The Secret Origin of Tony Stark will see stores tomorrow. Whenever this was written, I have no idea. It's probably this coming week.
No, it already came out. It came out?
Okay, yeah. I think I've seen that now.
Iron Man Papers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're showing. The comic is written by Young Avengers Iron Man series scribe Kieran Gillian with art from Dale Inglesham. Oh, that's a good poll. Gillian stated at Marvel's Next Big Thing panel that ARK is the most ambitious Marvel project to date. Plans to reach back into Stark's past, revealing new information on his parents and the beginnings of his elaborate robotic exoskeleton. This will be a nice little news for you there. Apparently, the return of the Ultimate Stretch. Although little was revealed from Marvel's Ultimate Universe, there was one small announcement that should make any reader familiar with this alternate universe excited. In Marvel's Next Big Thing panel, upcoming Ultimate Comics The Ultimates writer Joshua Hill Filecoff teased the return of notorious hero-turned-villain Reed Richards. The last time we saw the not-so-Mr. Fantastic was in a fatality of Jonathan Hickman's inaugural run of the title, in which the evil genius was left to float in an unwound idea space he created outside of reality. Falco said the arc could possibly be a redeeming one from Richards, presenting the question, who is the real good guy and who is the real bad guy of the story? Okay, here we go. DC's New 52 news. Coming off the jarring shocks of April, one might think that DC wouldn't have many more twists for its universe. Publisher still managed to raise a few eyebrows with its announcements at the convention, and a few universal shakeups are coming to. Yeah. DC editor Bob Harris announced that the All-Star Western is bringing Jonah Hex to the 21st century. He commented on some funny upcoming scenes as the grizzled gunslinger discovers modern technology and ideas like a car. Batman and Robin and departing Green Lantern Corps writer Peter J. Thomas talked about his big upcoming issues as Batman deals with his son's Damian's death, as well as author's finale on the Cosmic Green Space Police. He said his upcoming 5-issue arc on Batman and Robin builds on the DC Universe introduction of Carrie Kelly, female Robin of Frank Miller's 1986 landmark, and The Dark Knight Returns, which will feature a possibly sexy visit from Catwoman in issue number 22. Tomasi also called Green Lantern Corps number 20, the end of an era, as he worked on the title for the last 12 years. Holy crap, he has, hasn't he? Either as an editor or a writer. He also brought up Geoff Johns' 88-page final issue of Green Lantern that ties, quote-unquote, ties everything together, saying he and Johns will go out in a blaze of glory. All right.
In a blaze of glory.
Yeah, let's see, we got a tag here.
It'll be universe shaking, it will be status quo changing, it will be
a couple of arms flying around.
Dark Horse had a bunch of stuff too.
Oh my god, there's a dead black man. Oh no, there's not. Oh yes, there is.
You know what though, I'm glad they're giving him, like, I'm glad they're letting him go out with a big bang, because he's been on that book for...
Both of them have, yeah.
Yeah, for years and years, so...
Aussie's...
Is played it for sure.
Better in some time, a good part of the time on that one than Johns's was, or you know.
Really?
I thought so. I see Tomasi, the two with Batman and Robin and that Green Lantern Corps. He was one of my favorite writers. He stole it. All right. Here we go. Let's see. Tim Seeley's Occultist is returning to Dark Horse. And I forget who's going to be doing the art. Mike Norton is going to be doing the art.
Oh.
Reddit first was on Mike Norton's page. Let's see. First, 1 second, I'm going to look something up. Anyway, what else? Art Baldassare and Frank are going to do an itty bitty heavy boy comic. oh, here's interesting. I didn't know that.
I guess if you're going to be typecast as a creator, there could be worse things to be typecast as kids creators. I think that's a nice niche that they are filling,
I'm glad they're getting like gigs not only from DC but from other people too that like that style and want to publish that style, because their style is very, I mean, it's a very specific sort of style that doesn't tend to, like, when you think of comics today, you don't tend to think of their sweet, funny, little, cutesy, cartoony comics. But I'm glad that there's a market for it, and I'm glad that other companies are looking for it as well.
We'll see with Green Team, though.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I'm curious. I want to see what they're going to do when they've got a book that isn't going to be as cutesy and sweet. Like, I want to see what they can do when they're allowed to be big boy writers.
Quick, take off the diapers, put on the khakis, see what you can do.
Totally. No, I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. I think that's, is that next week?
Is it next week or the week after? I don't know.
Soon.
This
week. And you know what? I just realized The Movement, that is a terrible name for a book. The Movement.
Yeah.
Makes me think of poo.
Yeah, did I say that last week or not? Come on.
I don't remember.
Did
that
you?
Time,
maybe
I did. I said it makes me feel like I just had a big cup of coffee.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. It's, I remember.
I didn't clue in until I actually like read it and read the title, and I thought, ugh, yuck. However, I liked the book.
Oh, well, it makes one of us.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I didn't. I've decided I don't like her style of writing anymore.
I'm sorry.
Gail Simone.
Oh.
I don't know. There's something about her cadence and the way that...
Well, it hasn't been near as good as when she was doing Secret Six.
See, I really love that. And there was...
I love that book.
She seems to have taken on a different voice or something, and it doesn't appeal to me. I tried Batgirl, actually, a couple weeks ago, and I still not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get it. She definitely has a distinct voice, for sure. For sure, for sure. And her Secret Six and her Villains United mm-hmm. tended to have it still had her voice, but it was a little different, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I think The Movement might be hewing a little closer to her Secret Six. Not yet. Like, it's not there yet. But, I mean, it's only 20 pages in. But I thought it was okay.
You talking about The Movement?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll give it another issue. But and you know what the other thing doesn't appeal to me? I'm not a big fan of them portraying cops all the time as idiots and jerks.
There was the opening scene with the stereotyped sleazy cops. But then I wasn't sure about the chief of police there. He seemed almost sympathetic up until the end, and then his character took a turn. Not necessarily like a villainous turn, but a more J. Jonah Jameson turn. But I'd like to think he could still kind of be... Like, throughout the book, he almost seemed like he was going to be the I don't know, the protagonist or the sympathetic character, and then he wasn't. But there wasn't really a sympathetic character, period, I don't think.
Have you ever watched any Prime Suspect, the original one?
I haven't watched it. That's with Helen Mirren, right?
Helen Mirren, right. And her character in that is similar to that chief of police type character where clearly flawed and got some issues, but I don't know. I can't see myself paying $3 once a month or whatever for it.
Yeah, I think this chief of police wants to do the right thing, I think he did. I think he wanted to do the right thing, but he's frustrated by all the shenanigans going on in his town. And I like that it's another DC town. Like it's a Coral City, and it's got this flavor where the streets are all. I guess maybe you Americans do that. You number your street. So maybe Canadians do that too. I've just never been to numbered streets. Maybe we do.
Yeah, we got a few numbers out there.
You know how lazy Arizona is? Is that right down the middle of the city? They to the west, it's all these numbered streets, avenues, and to the east, it's the streets, same numbers, but you just have 7th Avenue, 7th Street. So you can't just say 7th; you have to say 7th Street.
Yeah, I've been places like that. Yeah. Let's see. Here's some more Dark Horse stuff. Got a new book called Witch Hunt from the minds of Victor Gishner from Punisher Max and X-Men. Never heard of him. Juan Ferreira, who did The Colder Rex Mundi. Let's see. Oh, this. It's basically it's a voodoo wizard, zombie ninjas, rogue priest, it says here. But my favorite quote looking through this was Victor came where does it say it? Oh crap. Yeah. Read as you crave a mix of horror and action, want to pick up Witch Hunt. Juan is going to murder your face with his art.
Uh-huh.
Murder your face.
Murder your face with his art?
That's what it says.
I don't know what that means.
It's supposedly pretty good, I guess. I don't know. It didn't look all that great to me on this page. It's got a little thing here. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Back to the occultists. And I was hoping I wanted to verify that, and I am right. They got a different guy doing the cover art. It'll come out in October. But, yeah, Mark Norton will do the interior. Oh, crap. Oh, I heard good things about this book. I never did get to get it, but it's Tim Seeley is returning with his rare mix of humor and horror in the supernatural superhero series The Occultist with Mike Norton.
The Occultist.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Doctor Strange kind of thing when I read the first deal about it. I guess him and Tim Seeley work together a lot. I don't know. I thought he was going to be doing all that Marvel stuff and was canceling all his other stuff, but apparently not. There's a nice little picture of itty-bitty Hellboy. And there's one called Buzzkill from the minds of Donnie Cates from Hunter Quaid and Mark Resnick. I had no idea. Let's see. Quote, working on Buzzkill is kind of like hanging out in a bar, drinking beers, and doing shots with your buddy and discussing the weirdest, wildest, most effed up stuff you can think of putting a comic. Okay. Yeah, that's it looks like a superhero kind of thing. Guy's in a costume with a bottle and a thing of smokes. Then there's a book called Grind. What? I'm just saying. Oh my. Man, I don't know what to think about this cover here. There's one called Grindhouse.
Grindhouse?
Yeah, here it is. It's this cover. Anyway,
that sounds. Wait a minute. That's,
all right, I'm talking about it. Hold on.
Send me the cover.
I got it on a different monitor. I got to pull it up here.
I'll find it for myself. There we go.
Find it.
I will in a moment. Go ahead, move on. Dark Horse. Spelling. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, it's called Open at Midnight, Grindhouse Open at Midnight. From the floor of C2E2, Dark Horse announces a book that was almost too much for the editorial team. Eisner nominee Alex DeCampi from Smoke and a book called Ashes headlines a B-movie masterpiece in Grindhouse, Doors Open at Midnight, with covers by superstar artist Francisco Francavilla, Dan Pornosian, and Coop, another one-liner there. The series excessive, gratuitous, and tasteless, just like you love it. It says, literature overrated, morality expendable. Tonight is right for some over-the-top sex and violence. Bringing the flavor of midnight exploitation flicks to comics, Grindhouse delivers 4 2-issue gore operas, starting with the Chris Peterson-drawn Bee Vixens from Mars, being a one-eyed southern Latina deputy against lusty alien chicks bent on laying eggs in the entire male population. That explains the cover.
Guess what miniseries I'm at least getting the first issue of.
So you see the cover I'm talking about?
I love it. Absolutely.
She must be a... Now I understand the eyes. She must be a bee vixen.
That is awesome.
Yeah, here we go.
There is nothing cooler in this type of setting than big boobs, big hair, and monster cars.
Yeah, I think I did it too. 4 48-page stories, 8-issue series. Wow.
Yeah, it's like, what's that, old Camaro or something? Oh, man.
Actually, that is a Super B. A Plymouth Super B, 1969-ish.
Look at you. Okay.
Hey, I am a Mopar fan. My first car was a 69 Barracuda.
And did you see the license plate on this? That's me.
Well, right then. Love that cover. Yeah. I didn't know what to think about that for a minute. Okay. I think that's all the announcements on that page. What else do they...
Gratuitous boobs and big hair. Honestly.
Let's see. They announced... ElfQuest is going to Dark Horse. They gathered the rights. And I think we mentioned this once before. I might have did it on Facebook. But apparently they have got the... So they've got the rights to it. And the creator is going to write one more... story, and that will be it.
I have never read an issue of ElfQuest.
I remember in high school a bunch of kids that were in ROTC with me that was really big on it, and they had all the stuff, and it's just a fantasy gender, you know, thing. I mean, you know, if you're into the fantasy thing, it might be your cup of tea. And I never did get into it.
I never even cracked a cover on one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of the huge indies of the early 80s, so.
Yep.
Huge. Huge.
It was huge. What else we got? Okay, let's move along here. I didn't see much for Image. You guys? Hold on.
They did all their news, though, at, like, at Emerald Con. And
they got their own con.
Yeah, they'll probably do a lot of reveals and stuff at San Diego and, like you said, at their own con.
Here's one. Rat Queen is the name of it. Rat Queens, excuse me. Oh, looks like this is a fantasy type thing with a bunch of women characters. The Green Wake and Super Creator will collect the Meg Dijami artist John Upchurch on the fantasy system. Comic will center around the adventures of 4 female adventure hunters, a human, a dwarf, a hobbit, and an elf. And that's nothing stereotypical about that at all. Blah, blah, blah. Their adventuring group, and yeah. Okay, so Skull...
What is the name of that comic that I'm not going to buy?
Rat Queens.
Rat Queens. Okay.
Yeah, it's like Skull Kickers, but with females. Skull Kickers is actually a cool book, by the way. Let's see. What else do we have? Let's see. Yes, the Injustice Gods Among Us title, which, you know, it's only on consoles, is going to have Lobo in it. You can play it. That's all.
Comic's really good, by the way. Just just so you know.
Comic's good? Okay.
Comic's good. They're very quick reads. It's very dark.
Here's a thing of cosplay pictures, which, you know, will not translate over the wall. But meanwhile, I'm – holy moly. Yeah, I'm going to peruse those later after we're off the podcast.
All righty.
Yeah, they announced – they announced at the comic convention that they will be having their own Image Expo 2013. Yeah.
They've done that in the past, I think.
They have. July 2nd, 2013 in San Francisco. One day thing. Now, they've got that book, Jupiter's Legacy. I've heard some vague controversy about that. Anybody know what that's about?
I don't know. It doesn't...
Doesn't
interest me. It's Mark Miller. And it's Frank Quitely, and...
See, I like Frank Quitely's art, but I don't know. Mark Miller's, here we go.
It wasn't that good. It was okay. It looked nice.
It's selling like crazy, apparently.
Well, good for them. And then that's Mark Miller's whole thing, is setting up for some outside of comics.
True. That's what he does.
Ownership. And that's, he's got his little mansion somewhere, and good for him, but that's... I wasn't a fan of the comic. Again, it was beautiful, though. It was abso-frickin' gorgeous.
Jupiter one?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. What else we have here? There's something about Boom I pulled up, and I didn't ever talk about it.
So who's going to... In the meantime, are either one of you going to the comic shop tomorrow?
They're talking about more snow and crap. They got a winter weather advisory, so I don't know. And really, we really don't have a true comic shop here. And I used to go to one in Joplin, and I got bought out by this somewhat large chain called Vintage Stock. And it's kind of – you ever been to Hastings?
No.
Well, that's kind of what it's like. It's kind of like a box store, and – I don't know what they're kind of going
to do. Well, I will be going to the comic store tomorrow. I will be wearing my flip-flops and my tank top, and I will be suntanning all the way as I get there.
But I will be downloading the crap out of all the comics I can on Saturday. So I assume those will all be available Saturday.
I guess so. I think Comixology has a whole bunch of free comics available as of right now.
Really?
So whenever you all are listening to this, a couple days ago, maybe even a week ago, Comixology had free comics.
Well, they always have free comics. Come on.
No, but I think they've got like hundreds.
Hundreds of free comics.
I think
comics.
In honor of the weekend.
Free comics, yeah. Link, it says free comics. Let's see what we got. Well, there you go. Recommended freebies right there. Stuff from last couple times. Manhattan Projects. Mage the Hero Discovered number one. Now, that's not a bad one. I like that. Chew number one. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
I'm hoping to get to my local one, but it's probably going to be crowded, so I don't know if we'll be left over by the time we get there.
I don't know. And they got a huge store that's more like a Barnes & Noble in the mall up there, but I don't really want to go all the way up there for that. If they had just a comic shop instead of, because they sell books and they'll buy stuff from you, and you can rent games and buy used stuff and use the game systems and all this other crap, and it's just not that's not my idea of a comic shop, so I'm probably going to miss it. Yeah, I know. So what else? Oh yeah, here it is. Here's a deal on Boom Studios. haven't heard much from them. Let's see. Okay, this is an interesting thing. Newsarama's got a new site, by the way.
Yeah, they've updated it.
Yeah, and this is representatives from the up-and-coming comic book publisher Boom Studios. Interesting. An atypical presentation that was gathered to hear it at C2E2 2013 in a panel moderated by Boom Studios Vice President and Publishing of Publishing and Marketing Philip Sablik and Editor-in-Chief Matt Ganga, Kaboom Imprint Editor Shane Walters. Let's see, what else we got? It's Philip Sablik started out the studio's history, how on-again and off-again publisher Ross Ritchie was strongly nudged by veteran comic creator Keith Giffen to found his own imprint. And it talks about that. See, they're doing the Adventure Time comic now. And a bunch of kid stuff. New Hero Bear and the Kid.
Yeah.
And Max... Yeah, this is supposedly a lot of... sales on this I saw on they were talking about it. This Max Bemis shared a little about his personal struggle with bipolar disorder and how and his music inspired his new comic Polarity. Supposedly a big deal. They're working with Jim Davis on Garfield comics. Stephen Grant is doing a Two Guns comic is going to be a release this summer as a major motion picture with Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg. What else? They got Clive Barker doing Hellraiser stuff. And, oh yeah, Six Gun Gorilla. Mm-hmm. Plans are in the works for more Elric stuff. Yeah. Pizza Garfield are percent new material. Anyway, that's about it. Seems like, of course, talked about that. Oh, that's, yeah. That's, yeah. Cuts against Rich Limbaugh are thriving. That's a totally different topic.
I think we've maxed out on C2E2 news.
I think we have. I just kind of hit the highlights, and since I'm like so behind in comics, I can't really, you know, tie in too much more than that. There's a lot of talk about that Infinity thing that's coming up.
What? Another big Marvel crossover series? No. Say it ain't so.
It's an actual end to the last one, so.
Hmm?
There was an end to the last one. Maybe. Well, no. Maybe. Well, no. The Marvel Now stuff is a lot better.
Hello?
What? You still there?
Okay. I'm here.
You're here? Caleb, you gone?
No, I can hear. You just kept fading in and out. I don't know if it was me or you. But.
Probably me. I'm moving around here. I'm like on three screens trying to come up with more to talk about. But yeah, that's about it, really. There's a spotlight on J. Michael Straczynski, but we're not going to talk about that because I can't stand that guy.
What about the are we going to do our spotlight on Nightmare Nurse?
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Bummer. Something was going to be an amazing idea.
Rather talk about the dramatic new look of He-Man, which is really not that dramatic. He's just not showing as much skin.
What, no nipples?
What? No nipples.
What is the point of He-Man if he's going to be all covered up?
Man, I don't know. It's, it's just, I don't know. I don't see what the big deal is, really. Here, let me send you this.
It's supposed to be like a big hulking dude.
Just doesn't really.
He's lost weight.
Yeah, I know.
He's like the Jenny Craig or something.
Yeah, he must have been.
Look at him.
I agree.
He's had a haircut and a whole makeover.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Seriously, shoulders to be 8 feet wide.
They're putting more clothes on He-Man, but they're putting less clothes on Orko now, so.
That's funny.
Sorry, oh. I actually had to look up his name. That's pretty sad. Just so I could say that stupid line, I went and looked up who Porco was.
It's all right, man. Really.
Oh, do you know who came back this month?
Who?
Topo the Octopus.
No. Oh, that's right. I read that in Aquaman. Big Octopus.
Now, of course, he's not the cover spoiler. He should have been on the cover as the cover spoiler. However... Topo is back.
Tusky the Walrus. They should have Tusky the Walrus come back.
Give them time. I swear he'll be back.
So hey, let me ask you a question about Aquaman real quickly. Was it late?
You know what? I think I guess April didn't have 5 weeks, but Aquaman and was it just Aquaman that slipped a week, maybe?
Everything else was on issue 20 that came out this week, except for that, which was on 19. So
okay, maybe that's just... So I guess it slipped 1 week then. And Justice League of America has slipped a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I noticed that it's already late. It's only on issue 3, so...
Yeah, it's almost...
Okay. Well, almost. It's not quite there yet, but hopefully they're getting things... Now, you know what? Maybe Justice League of America is getting... Like, they've lost their backup penciler when, what's his name? He passed away. Oh, and you're gonna, oh, no, I'm here. What's his name? I can't remember.
Yes.
Who?
Huh?
What?
The Justice League of America. Like, maybe they've lost their backup penciler and they're... I think they're trying to maybe switch out their Scott Clark. That was it.
That's right. I remember hearing about that.
That's where that passed away, and he was doing the backups, and I forget who was doing the main story, but he wasn't someone that I... Big name, but he wasn't a big name that I loved, so I think maybe they're switching up artists. Like, it sounds like they're getting a different artist for the Trinity War. It looks like Doug Monkey is maybe going to be doing the art for that storyline, so maybe he's transitioning into becoming the new penciler. So I don't know, maybe it's a book in transition, which when there's only two issues out doesn't say much, but hopefully they'll get it right back on target.
Interesting.
Well,
interesting. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, so far they haven't been a month late, though. So I'm not...
None of them have.
I'm not going to slam them. And 1 week slip on Aquaman and a couple weeks slip on Justice League of America is not punishable, but...
No, it's not a big, big deal yet.
No. But, you know, and I think as long as they get a within 4 weeks, I'm good with that. But
yeah,
after that, then we start... You know, hopefully they don't start setting a precedent. Oh, we slip 1 week. Oh, we can slip two. Oh, we can slip three.
Yeah, very true.
I think they're really trying not to do that, though, still.
No, and I know. And they're willing to put, you know, crappy artists on books just to make sure they ship on time, which I'm a mixed mind on. But,
yeah,
me
too.
A mixed opinion, actually, probably is a better.
Yeah.
I want my books when I want them, but...
Yeah.
I want some to be purdy, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got some purdy lips.
Oh, God. Not again. Sorry, I was reading about the Trinity War thing. A hero's going to die. Oh, God. It's something coming out. It's the Free Comic Book Day thing starts the Trinity War. Oh, joy.
It starts the Vibe series, and they kill him already. Good God.
We can only hope.
Talking Tawny finally meets his fate.
What? Stop that. Don't you say that.
Just in time for the new Shazam series. A hero meets his fate.
There you go.
CM2, the final issue.
Let's never ever mention that one again.
Yeah, let's not.
Okay.
3CM2. Yuck. Yuck.
He couldn't say his own name. Come on.
Yuck.
Yuck. Okay.
Yuck. Yuck.
He just had to say it twice.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
And then it'd be like a double lightning bolt, and he'd be fine.
Boo boo.
Okay. I think we're fading fast here, boys and girls. Let's wrap this up before we.
Okay. We'll put a bow on it.
Yeah, put a bow on it. All right. Good deal. So, as usual, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthewombox.com and tell us how terrible we are. Or how good we are, if you prefer. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Facebook page. You can go there and do a little search for Tales from the Long Box podcast and check us out. Or you can actually comment on the actual episodes. It would be nice for a change. I got the spamming thing taken care of, so, you know, feel free to just post.
I noticed my inbox all of a sudden stopped getting flooded. That was
I know. I fixed it a little bit too good. Unfortunately. But anyway, that's what rules are for, right? Outlook, you know?
Yes.
Okay, anyway, that's about it for this week. That's it. So we will see you next time.
Nice.
Bye-bye.
Now we're out.